Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Donald Trump met with President Joe Biden for over 2 hours yesterday to discuss the transition to the new administration in January. The meeting comes as Trump continues to appoint members to his cabinet and White House team, some you may have heard of before, such as Senator Marco Rubio, who is thought will become Secretary of State, but others may be unknown, including defense nominee Pete Hegseth of Fox News. So who are they? What do they stand for? Scott Lucas is going to give us an introduction to the nominees. Scott, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, you've been looking at these, I suspect, with some dismay, because it looks like a bit of a joke.
It's a joke which has very serious consequences, Pat. And I think if you take this in three stages, it's interesting. I think the first is that you had hardline loyalists who were drawn from the legislature to further tie Republicans to Trump and his agenda. You could talk about Representative Mike Waltz as the National Security Advisor. You could talk about Representative Lee Stefanik as the UN Ambassador, or Senator Marco Rubio as the Secretary of State. Then you had a second phase that grabbed headlines, which are those, I'm going to be hesitant, I'm not going to necessarily say grifters, that would be a very pejorative word, but those who are seeking very, very clear business and economic interest as they work with the Trump administration. And amongst those is Elon Musk, who is leading a department which isn't a department. It's an advisory committee. It's being done by Musk because he's hoping to get billions of dollars in contracts from SpaceX. He's hoping to promote his Bitcoin interest, which have the same acronym, DOGE, as the purported Department of Government Efficiency. And then you have the third stage of the craziness. And the craziness began with a nominee for the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, who has no administrative responsibility in the military. He did serve as a soldier for 20 years, but he has no administrative responsibility. He has no policymaking experience. He has really no experience beyond being a TV pundit on Fox. But what Pete Hegseth has done, to give you the seriousness behind the craziness, is that he will purge America's generals, admirals, and Air Force commanders. And that lines up with the Trumpist agenda, which is to get rid of a lot of these commanders because Trump believes the military don't support him. Then you've got the person to head up the CIA, a guy named John Ratcliffe, who has very little credible experience in intelligence, but is there primarily to protect Trump, as he did during the first term. You now have the director of national intelligence nominee, Tulsi Gabbard, who is an out-and-out supporter of Russia's propaganda lines, including its invasion of Ukraine, who is someone who trashes NATO at every opportunity.
I have a clip of Tulsi Gabbard. We'll just get a flavor of Tulsi Gabbard now.
They never really cared about the Ukrainian people. They never really cared about the American people or democracy or freedom, all these other things that we hear them giving so much lip service to. It reveals what they've really wanted all along, which is to overthrow the Putin regime. And they saw this war as an opportunity that would help them achieve that goal. And it's disgusting to know that this is true. The thing is, Tucker, you and I both know, with regime change wars, no one can predict how they'll end up or what happens next or who's going to take over. But we do know with Russia, because they've already, you know, the writing is on the wall, we do know that in Russia it's not going to be some, you know, pro-Western or pro-democracy, you know, power that goes and takes over. It's going to be someone that is far more hawkish and far more dangerous, creating a greater threat for the United States.
So what to make of her? I mean, she'd be the... She ran, by the way, for the Democrats, trying to be president, and then she changed her mind back to Republicanism. She's flip-flopped, but nominate as director for national intelligence. I mean, is this the Manchurian candidate sort of situation where she's really pro-Putin rather than supporting Ukraine, that she is a spy in the cab?
There are some. I think she's genuine in her belief that she sees the United States and NATO as the source of all ills. She has not only defended Vladimir Putin, says that Vladimir Putin is actually the victim here rather than the aggressor. She has defended Syria's Bashar al-Assad, a man who killed hundreds of thousands of his people over the past 13 years. And she says, no, it's Assad who's the victim of this. So she's of that mindset. We call it sort of the anti-imperialist mindset. There are some who believe that she has been compromised by the Russians, including intelligence agencies who believe that. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that she effectively is there to serve more the interest of Vladimir Putin and of Bashar al-Assad, and indeed perhaps others, because she sees them as being the people who really are the ones who have been wronged.
Now, if little Marco, and I was watching some clips of him before criticizing Trump and saying, never, never will we have this man leading the Republican Party. But then he bent the knee and he's now maybe going to be rewarded with the job of Secretary of State. And this is some of what he had to say about Ukraine.
I think the Ukrainians have been incredibly brave and strong and standing up to Russia. But at the end of the day, what we are funding here is a stalemate war, and it needs to be brought to a conclusion.
So that's what he thinks. And therefore, Zelensky will be looking with great dismay at this cabinet formation. The ideologues that he's employed, I mean, he is going to have his deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller. Tell us about Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller was a person who only a decade ago was someone best known for spamming offices up on Capitol Hill with his ideas. But then he became a speechwriter for Trump, and he's a very attacking speechwriter. He lies behind a lot of Trump's rhetoric that demonizes, dehumanizes people. Miller does have beliefs to back up that rhetoric, which is he actually is very xenophobic. He believes that anyone who is not, you know, a Native American, as it were, is to be distrusted. He's extremely hostile to immigrants. He is behind the initiative, which may be pursued next year, for mass deportations of immigrants. He's very hostile to refugees, to asylum seekers. He was the person who, in the first weeks of Trump's office, was one of the guys trying to implement the so-called Muslim ban to prevent people from coming to the United States simply because of their religious beliefs. He is doubling down on that hostile approach because he believes that Trump was wrongly pushed out of office by the 2020 election. And so Miller is one of those who will be bent on getting enemies.
Let's hear Stephen Miller in action.
He was fighting for your children, for your wives, your husbands, everyone that you love and know in the world. The right to live in a country where criminal gangs cannot just cross our border and rape and murder with impunity. Think about how corrupt and hateful and evil a system is that allows gangs to come into this country and rape and murder little girls. I'm not just saying that. You've read the stories. It happens every day. You read one of these heartbreaking headlines. Who's going to stand up for our daughters? Who's going to stand up for the girls of America, the women of America, the families of America? Who's going to stand up and say, the cartels are gone, the criminal migrants are gone, the gangs are gone, America is for Americans and Americans only?
Echoes of Adolf Hitler there, undoubtedly. Now, working with Miller on the border issues will be a fellow called Thomas Homan. He had this to say to immigrants.
As a guy who spent 34 years deporting illegal aliens, I got a message to the millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden's released in our country in violation of federal law. You better start packing now.
So tell me about Thomas Homan.
Tom Homan, during Trump's first term, was head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Now, when they do their job properly, they are there to provide border security. But what Homan advocated and what was pursued by the Trump administration, of course, was much more than this, where they tried to go in with a series of raids of factories, of shops, of homes, and just throw people out of the country without any due regard to due process or their rights. That initiative failed in the first term. It collapsed because it was very chaotic. within days. But that's what they're hoping to do on a systematic basis this time around.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
And of course, it's not just those deportations we're talking about. It's also that in the process of deporting people, it is those policies like separating children from their parents, putting the parents in detention centers and home. And rather than saying, look, we got it wrong the first term, is effectively saying we didn't pursue it enough. And so when you consider it, just one basic fact to put out to you, to deport 1 million people will cost the United States $88 billion. That's with a B, $88 billion. But Homan says, no, that's an acceptable price. It's an acceptable price to destroy people's lives and to sap the U.S. Treasury just because these are, quote, undesirables.
Now, it's extraordinary, the selection of people. I mean, then he goes for Matt Gaetz. Now, Matt Gaetz is about to be faced with an ethics committee report on his behavior. There were questions of him whether he had sex with someone underage and all sorts of other difficulties. This looks like an act of pure revenge against the Justice Department appointing him to be Attorney General designate.
Yeah, this Matt Gaetz is a Florida representative who, for his future, became the most diehard of Trumpist. He helped protect Trump over Trump's ties with Russia. He helped protect Trump over Trump's blackmail of Ukraine. He has demonized the Justice Department, which he now leads, in those cases that were, you know, prosecuted against Trump, quite rightly, some of which have resulted in felony convictions. So this is a case of someone who has a very checkered record. He's also been investigated for drug offenses, but he is Trump's attack dog to try to rip apart the Justice Department, to prevent it from doing its work, except for one thing, which is to protect Donald Trump. But Pat, this may be the line that the Republicans will not cross. There were a series of Republicans who came out with skeptical remarks yesterday about Gaetz coming in because of his character.
Is that maybe the token that Trump, you know, having rewarded Gaetz for his loyalty, that he will throw him to the wolves as a token while he keeps all the rest of the crazies?
That's an interesting move, and I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think Trump may have designed it that way, but his advisors may have done it that way, because I've just come off of an interview with the head of Republicans abroad in the UK, who started off by saying, you know, Gaetz might be too far. And then he immediately pivoted and said, but all the other appointments are fine. Pete Hegseth, this unqualified pick to be defense secretary, he's fine. Elon Musk, this PR stunt with the department that isn't a department of government efficiency, that's fine as well. So, yeah, it may be the case that Republicans are – that the Trumpists are basically sacrificing Gaetz. But alternatively, Pat, it may be that we do have divisions within the Republican Party. The Trumpists have tried to take control, but not everyone there is happy with that. And the Gaetz appointment may expose those fractures.
Now, what about the new Senate Majority Leader, not the one that Trump would have liked, but still a Trumpist, a Trump loyalist, that's Senator John Thune. Is he likely to, I suppose, raise some objections to Trump's plans?
He could do, Pat, because John Thune's background is that while Mitch McConnell, the outgoing Senate Republican leader, was there for 17 years, John Thune was one of his deputies. And so Thune was seen very much as being a pragmatist. Now, like McConnell, they're ruthless. They play politics hard. And he's very conservative. But I wouldn't say Thune's a Trumpist. I'd say that he says things to try to placate Trump, just to try to maneuver and make sure that, you know, it doesn't get too hot for him. But the fact that he was able to defeat the Trumpist choice, Rick Scott, does indicate that the Republicans in Congress won't just simply be Donald Trump's plaything. Now, whether the lines are drawn over an appointment like Matt Gaetz, whether it's drawn over an initiative like the mass deportations, whether it's drawn over economic matters, we'll see. But I think this is a silver lining to what is a very bleak picture of Trump trying to tear down the U.S. system.
Mike Huckabee heading to Israel.
Huckabee, former Arkansas governor, then ran for president unsuccessfully. After that, he became a diehard Trumpist as a broadcaster. He is also very much promotes himself as a conservative Christian and an ardent Zionist. So this will be part of Trump giving a blank check to Benjamin Netanyahu to do whatever he wants to do in Gaza, Lebanon, and beyond.
Now, I never thought I'd even suggest this, but given the rest of the craziness, that Pillow Mike might get a gig. The rumor is that he would be made Surgeon General, Mike Lindell.
Yeah. I remember at one point we were talking about Robert Kennedy Jr. having a significant role in health. Despite all his conspiracy theories, his denial of vaccines. And now we get Mike Lindell, who simply is the pillow guy. He has run this pillow company. He was one of the key people trying to overturn the 2020 election alongside Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. And so does he get rewarded for a post for which he has no qualifications? You might say that's out of the question, but let's return to the fact that a guy named Stephen Witkoff, who plays golf with Trump and is a real estate developer, is now the envoy to the Middle East with no qualifications except for the fact that he's a friend of Trump. So this friends and family approach of Trump is one that further raises questions about whether the U.S. system has integrity.
And of course, the Republicans took the House. That's been confirmed. So they have all the arms of government, the presidency, the Senate, the House, and the Supreme Court.
They do, Pat. But again, if you search for silver linings here, that majority in the House will be very, very narrow indeed, as it was for the past 2 years. And so if Trump just gets so blatant about tearing the walls down, as his advisor Steve Bannon tells him to do, will the Republicans be the turkeys voting for Christmas? In other words, will the Republicans with a narrow majority in the House or the Republicans with a narrow majority in the Senate support Trump's initiatives to actually destroy their influence, destroy their power, as well as destroying the influence of the agencies?
Some of the comments coming in. I'm not a Trump or Harris supporter, but if we can elect and appoint teachers to our government and then appoint them to cabinet, surely it's not a bad thing to appoint a person who served as a soldier for 20 years as Secretary for Defense. This anti-Trump rhetoric is becoming monotonous. Whether we like him or not, he will be the President of the United States, and Ireland and the world will have to do business with him. That's from Linda. Linda, the teachers who end up serving in cabinet are elected by the people. Some of these others are not. I mean, the Fox News, Fox and Friends weekend anchor, although he may have some military background, he was not elected by the people.
And I would add, Pat, that, again, you judge people on their expertise and on their capability. So if you want to judge him and what he has done for several years now on that TV show, this is a person who has shown no perception of the defense issues that we talk about. Instead, what he says is that veterans are sponging off the government by taking benefits. He says that generals and admirals have been pursuing transgender initiatives and have been pursuing diversity, as if diversity is a bad thing. In other words, this is someone who is there because he puts out lines that support Trump's attempt to stigmatize the military, even when they serve the U.S. So, Linda, that's my question.
Yeah, and you know that he never washes his hands. Did you see that clip? He believes in self-immunization by allowing the bugs to run rampant on his hands, and he believes that gives him protection, which it may well do. They're his bugs, maybe, after he goes to the loo. But when he shakes your hand, when he walks in, well, the answer is do not shake his hand. I have zero respect for Trump, says another, but those first two clips you played are a correct reading of the U.S. and Ukraine situation. The U.S. is the aggressor. I'm not excusing Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine. He should be in the dock for that, but only at the back of the queue behind Bush and Blair. The West has been the aggressor my entire life, says that texter.
Texter, you are excusing Putin's aggression against Ukraine. You are excusing Russia's mass murder of Ukraine's civilians, whether it be on-the-ground massacres or the daily missile and drone strikes. You are excusing the attempt by one country to take over another country. So please be honest about that, and at least identify who started this very, very deadly war.
Scott Lucas, thank you very much for joining us. Scott Lucas is a professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip hop could be hop hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.